Morning. Today's topic of the Zaras Nemches. We're on Nenzayin Amud Beis. We're talking about Magas Yayin, the contact with wine. If a guy comes into contact with the wine of a Jew, what becomes the result of that? So, as we already pointed out now, going back to Daf Nun Hey, Nun Hey Amud Aleph. So the Mishnah brought us now to the last topic of the Masechta, which is Yayin Nesach. It'll be really the main topic that we'll be covering from here until the end. So it's about 20 blot of Yayin Nesach. I know it's a lot of Gemara. As you can see, there's a lot of Tosos over here on these Dapim. And today's just a good example where Tosos today is really responding to a Pshat and Rashi. I'll share with you, obviously, later the what Rashi says that, you know, really gets Tosos going. You can see the entire Amud of Tosos over here on Nun Ches Amud Aleph. But anyway, we're talking about contact of a guy with wine. So here's what we know: if a guy touches wine, so the concern is that all he's going to do nisuch. Nisuch is not an elaborate, a complicated process. You just simply shichshuch yad. You take your hand, you agitate the wine with your hand, and that's how nisuch can be performed. Now, that's not to say that he's going to do nisuch every single time he puts his hand in, but certainly it's a possibility, and as a result of it being possible, so therefore, wine which is touched by a non-Jew is going to be aser b'shtiyo, aser v'hana. It's going to be aser both in terms of drinking and in terms of getting benefit from that wine. The discussion that we had yesterday, and which really we're going to be continuing to have today, is what if we know that it was context shelo b'kavana, meaning it's very clear from the context of the situation that he's touching the wine, but he's not in his mind even entertaining the possibility of shichshuch. So this is what's called naga shelo b'kavana. He touches it, but with no kavana. What would be the result of that? So as we learned in yesterday's daf, and it's important to review. So on this, the Tanaim argue, and there are actually three opinions amongst the Tanaim in terms of what becomes of contact where there was no kavana. So if you remember yesterday, there was a story in Nahar Da, right? I'm going back to yesterday's daf. There was an incident in Nahar Da. You'll see these stories really string together. In other words, when you see the flow, you really begin to understand that, in other words, they're really all discussing basically the same issue, just in the context of different anecdotes. But they're all basically the same, the same idea. So in yesterday's daf, we opened up with how Uvda Dahava ben Arda, there was an incident in Arda, the Dash Yisrov Avikocham Lahu Chamra, and where you had a guy and a non-Jew, and they were both trampling the wine together. And the matter came in front of Shmuel, and Shmuel, it was contact, first of all, it was with the foot, it wasn't with the hand. That was one consideration that we had yesterday. And also, when the guy was doing so, he was not doing so because he was thinking about agitating the wine in Nisuch, but he was doing so simply because he was hired to do so. And the question now is Magashlo Bekavan, and what becomes of that? So, so as you remember yesterday, it's the three-way machlokus amongst the Tanaim. How could there be three opinions on the matter? It's very simple. Because really there are two questions. One question is whether or not it's Mutar B'Shtiyah or Asur B'Shtiyah, and the second question of whether it's Mutar B'Hana or Asur B'Hana. So you can now see that there really can exist three opinions on this matter. One opinion, which is the middle opinion, which is the Shita of the Chachamim, is that it's Asur B'Shtiyah Mutar B'Hana. You can't drink it, but you're allowed to get benefit from it. And then you have the two extreme positions. You have the Rabbi Nassim position and the Rabbi Shimon position. Rabbi Nassim takes the position that it's Asur across the board, B'Shtiyah U'V'Hana, and Rabbi Shimon says that it's Mutar. It's Mutar B'Shtiyah U'V'Hana. Okay, so this is... these are the issues that we discussed yesterday, and quite frankly, we continue with these issues today. And again, like yesterday, we start with a story. We are beginning today with Hahu. Hahu uvda dahava b'mechuzah. So this story takes place now in the town of Mechuzah. Okay, I don't know my geography well in terms of, in other words, all these towns are, you know, in Iraq. You know, they're all probably all of them are bordering on either the Tigris or the Euphrates River. But that little I could tell you. But the parts that I do know, however, just from simple experience, is that Nahar Da is the town of Shmuel, where Shmuel is the Rav of Nahar Da. You don't hear about Nahar Da, side note, you don't hear about Nahar Da much after the demise of Shmuel. Rav Nachman is the student of Shmuel, and Rav Nachman takes the mantle, the leadership of Nahar Da, but after that point in time, like Nahar Da as a city, is not to be heard of again. Mechuzah, on the other hand, which is what we're discussing now, that's Rava's town. So Rava is the Rav of Mechuzah. Now Rava comes a little bit later. In other words, in terms of generation, Shmuel's a first generation Amora, and Rava is third, fourth generation. you know, I don't know how to count these things, but anyway, but he's in the middle. He's the, in the middle of the tkufas of the Amoraim. Anyway, so he's a Rav of Mechuza. Okay, so you get to become more familiar. And then you say a town, and you know which Rav is associated with it. A Rav, by the way, just parenthetically, is a Rav of Surah. Okay, so yeah, those are the big three towns and the big three Rabbanim. So how uvda dava b'mechuza? So there was an episode in Mechuza. Also, v'kocham ailechanu sadi. So also, the story goes like this: a non-Jew goes into the store. It's a store is owned by a Jew. Wine's owned by a Jew, and the non-Jew comes in and amarlei islu chamer lizvune. And so the non-Jew comes in and asks a very simple question: you got any wine to sell me? And amarlei lo. And the answer is no. I got no wine to sell you. So now, if I guess we were there and we actually saw the exchange between the two, so we'd realize that this is a very uncomfortable and unpleasant exchange. We're not given all the details of what's happening, neither the relationship between the two. But right now, just imagine the store owner sitting there with all the wine surrounding him, and the non-Jew comes in and says, "Okay, Nu, you have any wine to sell me?" Jew's like, "No, no wine," and he's surrounded in his store by wine. "I got no wine to sell you." Okay, so anyway, have a yes. For whatever reason, he said no. He said no.
Well, what's the reason? I mean,
it's a business. I understand. It's an important question you're asking. I
would say it's a litmei evil.
I, if you want, I mean, I can make something up, and I'd be more than happy to. But I'm being honest. I don't know. I like the thought process. I appreciate it. I just simply don't know. It could be. I'm really low. So he says to him, no. So have Yasif Chamra Bedavla, Shadi Beyadi Shech Shechbe. So now, so imagine now there are barrels of wine, and also on top of that, there are also, you know, what you and I would call bottles of wine. But in other words, back then, not so much bottles, but you know, what's it called? Little jugs. So there was these barrels of wine in the back, and they had the jugs. And so the guy he's enraged. And Shadi Beyadi Shech Shechbe. So what the guy does is he takes his hand, he puts it into the jug, meaning not the barrel. He puts it into the jug, and he agitates the wine, and he basically says, "What do you mean you don't have any wine to sell me? What's my hand in right now?" Amr lahu, hi love chamruhu. So I'm sorry, let me read that correctly. Amr lahu, hi love chamruhu. And the guy says to him, and this isn't wine? Of course this is wine. So, although he's not Jewish, by the way, he's speaking like a Jew. In other words, getting his point across through a question. So, Shakli Haich Berizcha Shadi Ladana. So, the Jewish owner of the store is angry, enraged, and he takes the wine that's in the jug, and he throws that wine back into the barrel. Meaning, the Jew now is lifting up the jug, pours it back into the barrel, and now the following. We really have on our hands right now two questions. We have two shilas. One shila is the jug. Because what we know for sure is that the non-Jew took his hand and put it into the jug and he agitated. Okay, so he did shikshach. Now, on this first question, we also know that based on the context of the discussion and the dialogue that took place between the two, the non-Jew wasn't there just to create any kind of a avodah zarah. In other words, he was good and angry because the Jew refused to sell wine. Again, for whatever reason. In other words, he was good and angry. He puts his hand into the jug of wine simply because he's just trying to make a point. Hey, you're saying you're not selling me wine? What do you think this is? So in other words, his hand going into the wine could just very well be just a demonstration of anger. How could you tell me you don't have wine to sell me when look what's going on right here? He did do shikshach. So, okay, I understand that. Right now I'm calling it a shaila. I know what's coming up. So that's one shaila. And then of course there's a second shaila, which is now this wine, which may or may not be aser, we don't know yet. This wine now gets poured into the barrel, so now you also have a second shaila on the barrel, and this is what's called a ta'arovis. You have a mixture now of, and again, really of course it depends on what we say regarding the jug, but we have a ta'arovis of, let's call that wine right now aser, although, it's, as we're going to see in just a moment, it's a machlokis. But let's call that wine aser. If that wine is aser, so then you have a mixture of prohibited wine mixed together with permitted wine. And what do we say regarding a ta'arovis? Of yayin nesech and kosher wine. Okay, so we really have two shilas on our hand. We are going to be focusing on the jug and the status of the jug. Meaning the wine that is now poured back into the barrel, obviously that's its own separate shila. And that, of course, deserves attention as well. But our attention right now is going to be on the jug and the status of the jug. So, Shaya Rav Lezvunilov de Kochavim. So, Rav says, permitted. Permitted to sell it to a non-Jew. So, in other words, Rav takes the position that this is maga, shelo bekavana, contact by contact without any kavana, without any intent to do it. And again, we know there was no kavana just based on the context. And so this is maga shelo bekavana, and Rav takes the middle position. Meaning, as I said in the beginning of Shir today, amongst the time there are three opinions, and Rav now takes the middle position, that's maga shelo bekavana, contact, but you know from the context that there was no intent to do shirshuch, I'm sorry, to do nisuch. So therefore, he takes the middle position that you can't drink it, but you are allowed to sell it. You're allowed to get benefit from it. Okay. So the Gemara continues. If look, Allah, Rav Huna bar Chinna, Rav Huna beray de Rav Nachman. Two Rav Hunas take issue with Rava's psak. And they say no. In other words, they say that you're not allowed, they're not allowed to drink it, nor you're allowed to, you're not allowed to get benefit from it, you're not allowed to sell it. Okay. Rashi, by the way, notes that, two notes from Rashi, which I didn't point out. One is that when the Jew was taking that wine and pouring it back into the barrel, Rashi writes, klamar lo tishta mimenu, meaning you're not drinking any of it. None of this for you. Okay. Second Rashi is that when the two Rav Hunas are arguing with Rava, they happen not to be in town. In other words, they must have heard of Rava's psak, and then from a distance they said, no, that's an incorrect ruling. Okay, now, Nafki Shippur de Rava Visharu, Nafki Shippur de Ravuna Barchin, Ravuna Barav Nachman, and Vasre. And the shofars go out. The shofars, by the way, we hear this expression all the time, meaning that when there's a broadcast of a psak, so the Gemara's terminology is shofar, meaning literally you blow the shofar, but it just simply means that both of the psakim were broadcast, and so the Jewish people obviously now are confused. Rava is broadcasting to the people that it's Mutar Bahana, and the two Rav Hunas are broadcasting to the people that it's Asur Bahana. For sure Asur B'Shtiyah, but even Asur Bahana as well. Okay. Now, interesting, by the way, the Gemara doesn't take us through the thought process of either Psak. We don't know why Rava says it's Mutar Bahana. We don't know why the two Rav Hunas say that it's Asur Bahana. So let us, let's do a little bit of speculation, meaning, and Phil, you kind of touched on this a moment ago, but let's speculate. As we know, and we learned in yesterday's daf, when it's maga shelo bekavana, so again, there are three opinions, and the one that is in the middle, and it's also the position of the chachamim, is that we take a split decision. You can't drink it, but you can get benefit from it. Okay, so over here, so presumably what Robert's thinking is, same thing. Meaning, this is basically what we're dealing with over here. When the guy takes his hand and puts it into the wine, again, just you have to hear the story, you have to look at the context of what's going on, but really, it's maga shelo bekavana. It's maga shelo bekavana. We know there are three opinions on the matter. The chachamim take that middle position. Okay. So in other words, so that's why he said that you're allowed to sell it. It's mutar bahana. And what about the two Rav Hunas? So presumably what the two Rav Hunas will say is as follows. And again, the Gemara doesn't say this, Rashi doesn't say this, but presumably here's what they're going to say. They're going to say, no. Meaning, even with the context over here, and again, I know Phil said this before, but even the context over here, we're watching the guy take his hand and put it into the wine. And he's actually agitating the wine. And over here, yes, he's angry. For sure he's angry. Both people are angry. The store owner's angry, the non-Jew's angry. But maybe, in his anger, what he's also looking to do is he's looking to hurt the Jewish store owner. I mean, consider, he just got rejected. So, and maybe the non-Jew over here understands that, hey, he doesn't want to sell me wine. So, okay, so I'm going to mess it up. So I'm going to take my hand, I'm going to put it in it, I'm going to do shirshuch, and over here, there's a really strong possibility that it's not maga shelo bekavana. It's maga bekavana. So the two Rav Hunas could just simply say, look, in general we agree, maga shelo bekavana is mutar bahana. Generally we would agree with you. But this context over here, you can make a really legitimate argument that when the guy put his hand into the wine, it was maga bekavana, not maga shelo bekavana. Okay, that could be the back and forth between the two. Now, igla Rav Huna bereid de Rav Nachman lechuza. Okay, so now as we turn out to the top of Menaches Amud Aleph, so the story continues. Now here's where it gets a little bit complicated, just a little bit. What Rashi is going to do over here is that Rashi is going to take two Gemaras that are coming up, and Rashi is really going to reverse the order of the Gemara, not textually, but chronologically. Meaning, Rashi writes that this episode that we're reading right now actually is a later chapter in the saga. There are going to be two more chapters in the saga. There is a Rava having a confrontation with Rav Huna, and there's Rava having a confrontation with Abaye. Now, in the way the Gemara presents it, the Gemara first presents Rav Huna, and then the Gemara presents the Rava's confrontation with Abaye. What Rashi says very clearly is that the Abaye episode happened first, and then this episode with Rav Huna happens at a later point in time. Okay. Why Rashi does that, it's not super clear why he does that. In fact, because Rashi says this, so Tosfos, and you can see Tosfos covering most of the Amud, that first Tosfos, so Tosfos takes serious issue with the way Rashi presents the Gemara and the chronology that Rashi sets up in the Gemara. We here are going to be presenting the Gemara like Rashi. You can see Tosfos for a lengthy discussion slash debate on Rashi, but I'm going to present the Gemara like Rashi. So Igla Rav Huna Breder Rav Nachman LeMechuza. So Rav Huna Breder Rav Nachman now heads over to Mechuza. Now remember, Rav Huna was one of the two Rav Hunas who argued with Rava, and now he's headed over to Mechuza, and he's going to have a confrontation with Rava. Now again, Rashi over here writes. I'll read the Rashi inside, the first Rashi in the Amud. Lacher zman. This is at a later point in time. Acher shechazer bo sheichziru Abaye ayidei tshuva sheheishiv lo kedamin lekaman. Akfan nachmeni shmaitata umasnisa. So this is at a later point in time. In other words, we're going to learn in just a couple minutes from now that Abaye already confronted Rava, even though the Gemara hasn't told us about that. Abaye already confronted Rava, and actually Rava reversed his decision based on the confrontation of Abaye. So truth be told, says Rashi, is that Rava at this point in time already reversed his ruling. So as Rav Huna Bar Nachman is coming to fight with him, truth be told, there's nobody to fight with anymore. Because Rava eventually yielded and conceded that he was wrong.
He didn't know.
But Rav Huna didn't know. Okay. So Ikla Rav Huna Breda Rav Nachman Lechuza Amrle Rav L'Rav Eliakim Shamei. So Rav says to Rav Eliakim, Trog Trog Gali. Delo, now we have the word Nasi, the Bach changes it to Lasi. Delo Lasi Insha Dinitrate. So Rav says to his attendant, you lock the door. I don't want anyone to come in. Don't let that Rav Huna come in here. I don't want to talk to him. So Ala Gabe. So, and somehow Rav Huna walks in. Okay, so Rashmaya seemingly did not do the best job. But anyway, Amaleki Agav Namai. So Rav Huna says to Rava, what is your psak? So Amalei Aser. Afilu Behana. So he says to him, it's Aser. And not only is it Aser, but it's Aser even in Ana. Meaning, again, I'm working with Rashi because he was already Choser. Meaning that's not what he said earlier. What he said earlier was it's Mutar Ba'ana. But already, as Rashi points out, the confrontation with Abaye already occurred, even though we haven't read it yet. Rava already retracted his ruling, and so that's why he's telling Rav Huna right now, I was chozer. Well, he says that's Aser Ba'ana. V'hamaru d'amar ashich sheikh enos yai nesach. So Rav Huna says to Rava, that's not what I heard you say. I heard you say back then that it doesn't become yai nesach, meaning that it's, I heard you say it's not Aser Ba'ana. So what Rava says is, oh no, what you heard was the value of the wine. Meaning, what you must have heard was, is that when the Jew took the wine in the jug and poured it back into the wine, this is the second Shiloh, the Shiloh which quite frankly, we didn't even really address. And what happens when you have Yain Nesach that gets mixed in together with kosher wine? Well, what happens is, actually, it's a machlokas. Meaning, we're going to learn later in the Masechta, actually towards the end of the Masechta, machlokas between the Tanakam and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, in terms of whether or not you can redeem such a tarovas, whether you can take the tarovas of Yain Esach and Kasher wine, and take out the hana'a, take out the value of the Yain Esach, and at least get benefit from it.
There's no bittum.
Meaning it's min bemino, it's yain esach, there's no bittum. Okay. So anyway, so we're going to discuss that later on. So what Rav is basically saying to Rav Huna is, no, what you must have heard was me saying something about the barrel of wine, not about the jug. The jug for sure is asr. It's asr b'shtiyah and asr b'hana. Now, it happens to also be, by the way, that Rav didn't say that. So why is he telling Rav Huna that what you must have heard was my psak regarding the barrel? Rashi writes, again, I go back to Rashi. Rashi writes, at the end of Dibra Maschol Demeya Da'u Chamra, Umishum Kisufa Kamar Achi, Aval Iu Kule Shari. Now, quite frankly, Rav was a little bit embarrassed, meaning because he did at the time issue a heter. He did say it was Mutar Bahana. He was saying that not only on the barrel, he was saying that regarding the jug itself. But Rashi writes that, quite frankly, Rav was embarrassed. And so right now he's saying something which isn't perfectly honest, but he did so just simply out of embarrassment. Okay. Again, I know all this is a little bit difficult, it's a little bit complicated, but that's the way Rashi presents the Gemara. Amar Rava, period. Meaning that is the end of the exchange between Rava and Rav Huna. Now, we are, according to Rashi, growing back chronologically. This is now his confrontation with Abaye. And this is occurring actually before the confrontation between Rav Huna. Amar Rav Kiasala Pumbadisa Akva Nachmeni. Shmaitata Umasnisa Dasar. Rav says that when I head over to Pumbadisa, so I was surrounded by Nachmeni. Nachmeni is another name for Abaye. Shmaitata Umasnisa. And what he did is he challenged me. He challenged me with Shmaitata. Shmaitata means any ruling issue by an Amora. And Masnisa could either be a Mishnah or a Braisa. And, but basically, we're going to see both. And through the presentation of both, what Abaye was basically sharing with his colleague, his Chavrusa and the Bar Plukta, is, you're wrong. Meaning, it's not Mutar Bahana, it's Asar Bahana, and I'll prove it to you that's Asar Bahana. How do I know that? So we're going to go through both. Shmaitata, let's first hit the Psak of the Amoraim. Da'uv da'dava b'nar da'va asar shmo. There was an episode in Har Dan Shmuel said that's Asar. Asar over here meaning Asar b'shtiyo v'ana. Bitzveri of Asar Rav Yochanan. And there was an episode in Tveria where, again, a guy made contact with wine and it was shlo b'kavan. And Rav Yochanan says Asar. It's Asar b'shtiyo and it's Asar b'ana as well. The Amri lay now. Rav said in his defense to Abaye, look, I hear you, meaning I'm not disputing the facts that you're presenting to me, but lefishen b'nei Torah. But you know that the Shmuel Psak and the Rav Yochanan Psak was not according to the strict letter of the law. I think that according to the strict letter of the law, it's Mutar Bahana. It just happens to be that these people that you're presenting are not B'nai, those communities were not B'nai Torah, and therefore Rav Yochanan and Shmuel felt the need to be more Machmir than the strict letter of the law. But the truth be told is that it's really Mutar Bahana. The Amrli Tveri of Anaradayin and B'nai Torah. The Mechuz B'nai Torah, to which Abai says to me, Rava, oh really? They're living in these communities that don't have B'nai Torah. And you're telling me that the town of Mechuza is filled with B'nai Torah? Meaning a really sarcastic hit from Abai to Rava. Your community is no better than the communities of Nardan, the communities of Tveria. If they felt the need to be Machmir, you should feel the need to be Machmir as well. And so those were the rulings of Rav Yochanan and Shmuel. And then on top of that, a Abaye says to Rava, Masisa, and I also have a Braisa as well. Now the Braisa over here deals with the following. Argadamim, Ove Kochavim. So you have an Argadamim, and Rashi points out that he is a minister of the government, and basically he's an inspector. Rashi writes, Adam HaMamun L'Shmur HaMidos B'Mitzvos HaMelech, Shelo Yishakur Behem. So he was an inspector, appointed by the king to make sure that what people were selling were legit. And so what he would do is he would go around, says Rashi, he would taste people's wines to make sure that what they're selling was wine, not some sort of diluted version of it. And on top of that, also Rashi points out, Nasis Sirsur Beneihem. Also Rashi points out, he also, I guess gets into issues of ethics, but he also turns into a bit of a middleman, where, in other words, once he inspects and once he finds that it's good, so then he'll also be an agent in terms of selling it. Okay, whatever. Point being now is that you have this guy, but really he's an inspector, and he is, and he's going to be tasting the wine, and shekadach b'meinekes v'hala, and what he does is either pokes a hole in the top, takes a straw, puts a straw in, and takes a sip with the straw, and the wonderful backwash, and whatever little wine residue that's in the straw heads back into the barrel. Oh, shetam in a kos ve'achzir l'chavis, or he tasted from the cup. In other words, a cup of it was taken. He tasted from the cup, and the remainder of it, he echzir l'chavis, he put back into the barrel. Ze'ayamaisa ve'asruhu, and this was an episode, and this is a brisa. This is an episode, and they asered it. And presumably, aser meaning aser both b'shtia uvehana. You're not allowed to drink that wine, nor are you allowed to get benefit from the wine as well. Okay, fine. So my love behana. So now Abaye says to Rava, we just went through the brisa together. The brisa says aser. Now, when you hear the word aser, what are you hearing? Aren't you hearing that it's aser behana? Lo b'shtia. So Rava says, I don't know. Maybe when the brisa says the word aser, maybe the brisa just simply means it's aser b'shtia, but not behana. Ihachi lisne yimaker kidiktani seifa. So Abaye says to Rava, no, you're not saying the right pshat. When it says aser, it means it's aser b'shtia uvehana. And I know that, says Abaye, because if the brisa wanted to make the point that it's aser b'shtia muter behana, the word the brisa would have chosen was the word yimaker. Because in that one word, you can clearly articulate that you're allowed to get benefit from it. Because if you're allowed to sell it to somebody else, that means it's muter behana. So by virtue of the fact that the brisa, and it didn't even have to cost the brisa another word, by virtue of the fact that the brisa does not use the word yimaker, but rather the word aser, it means it's aser b'shtia uvehana. And Abaye says, and I know I'm right, because let's take a look at the next part of the brisa. Cheirim ove kochavim. So you have, and I'm actually quoting Rashi, you have this meshugana non-Jew, right? Which is really just almost a direct quote of Rashi. You have this meshugana non-Jew, shoshi yadu lechavis, v'kasavah shoshemen hi, he puts his hand into a barrel of wine. He doesn't even know that it's wine. He thinks it's oil. And the brisa says, under these circumstances, what do I do with this wine that was touched by this meshugana non-Jew? You sell it. Meaning you can't drink it. It's mago v'kochavim. But it's mago v'kochavim. And here, clearly, shelo b'kavana was not without any intent. He didn't even know it was wine. And so, it's muter behana. And the brisa says the word yimaker. So Abaye says to Rava, clearly, if the brisa wanted to communicate with us that it's muter b'hana, the brisa would have used the word yimaker. In fact, the brisa does that in the second half of the brisa. In the first half of the brisa, when you had the inspector coming and tasting the wine and taking whatever he had left over and pouring it back, so clearly when the brisa says aser, it means aser b'shtia and aser b'hana. Tiyufta de Rava tiyufta. So this is a refutation of Rava, and that's the end of the confrontation between Abaye and Rava. And Rava was refuted, and this, says Rashi, is now where Rava now takes the position of, I was wrong. Now what you go back is you go back to the top of the Amud, and you see his confrontation with Rav Huna, and at that point in time, he already reversed his position. Okay. Adkan, that is the end of this Gemara's discussion, and I presented it the way Rashi presented it. Okay?
Yeah.
Right. Correct. Okay. And for homework tonight, what you'll do is you'll go through the Tosos. Tosos over here launches into almost a half a dozen questions against the way Rashi presents it. Where Rashi, in other words, there is no indication in the Gemara whatsoever that the chronology of these stories need to be switched. In fact, there are many other Gemaras where sometimes this happens, where Chapter 2 is presented before Chapter 1, but the Gemara says, hey, that was Chapter 2, this is Chapter 1. In other words, the Gemara clarifies that the chronology needs to be switched. There is no indication in the Gemara that these stories actually occurred out of order, and Tosos asks many questions in the way Rashi presented the Gemara. Okay, so you could see, for later, you could see Tosos and see how he navigates through the Gemara. Anyway, we continue in the Gemara, we're towards the bottom of Nunches Amud Aleph. Rabbi Yochanan ben Arza, Rabbi Yosan, Rabbi Yossi ben Urai, Havu Yasve, the Kashasu Chamra. So these two Amorayim were sitting down, they were drinking wine, Asu Agavra, and along comes a man, Amarle Ta Ashkinan. And so they say to the man, "No, have a drink." They didn't know the identity of this man. They didn't know if he was Jewish or not Jewish. Lavasa Derama Lakasa, Iglamilsa Dovikochavimu. So what happens is he fills up a cup, from the barrel. He helps himself to a drink, and his identity is discovered. He's not Jewish. Chad asar afilu behana'a, v'chad shari afilu b'shtiyah. And so, as a result of them not knowing that he was a non-Jew, and now he put his... Now, we're going to be clear in just a moment. Exactly what he did to get the wine from the barrel into his cup, we're not super clear about that yet, but we have two psakim ahead of us that we're looking at. One said that it's aser across the board, v'shtiyo v'hana, and one said that it's mutter across the board, even to drink from this wine. I'm Rav Yeshua ben Levi, man daser shapi aser, man deshari shapi shari. And Rav Yeshua ben Levi says, you know what? I hear both opinions. Even though they are diametrically opposed to one another, Rav Yeshua ben Levi says, I hear it. I hear both. Man daser, meimar amar, saika daita de rabbanan kihani, shircha kashasu, elavadai hachamrahu vinaschei. The one who says aser says as follows. We're going to have to basically read minds. Or we're not going to read his mind, but we're going to have to figure out what was going on, what was going through his thought process as a non-Jew was putting his hand into the barrel. So, the one who says that it's Asr B'Shia, Asr B'Ana, he says to himself as follows. These are Rabbanim Chashuvim. In fact, Rashi actually uses that language. These are Rabbanim Chashuvim. Do you think they're having a beer together? Right. But the beer is for the low class people. So what do you think they're drinking? In other words, the non-Jew knew all along that what they were drinking was wine. And so when he put his hand in order to get his cup of wine, he knew it was wine. It was not maga shelo bekavana. It was maga bekavana. He touched the wine and he touched the wine with intent. And therefore, the one who says that it's aser and aser b'shtiyo v'ana, says the guy knew exactly what he was touching when he put his hand into the wine. Now, man deshare, shapir share. And Rav Yeshua ben Levi says, and I can also see the other side and the other psak. Because consider, meimar amar saka dacha de rabbanan ki hani chamre, kashas of amar le lididi tashkayan. Meaning, here's the thought process of the non-Jew. They're drinking wine. Are they going to invite me to drink wine with them? Meaning, we all know that you can't do that. Meaning even the non-Jew knew that. So when he thought now, he put his hand into the barrel to take the liquid out, he didn't think it was wine. Why would these two rabbis invite me to drink wine with them? They know I can't touch the wine. So he's now in his mind thinking, oh, it's not wine. It's therefore beer. So when he put his hand into the liquid, he didn't know it was wine. He thought it was some other liquid. So elavade shichruhu. So it must be beer. Kashasu v'lo naschei. And so therefore, this is maga shlo b'kavana, and like we discussed on the Amud Aleph of today, and it's really shlo b'kavana, meaning shlo b'kavana, he didn't even think it was wine, and so therefore, maga shlo b'kavana, and therefore it's mutter. So, the elevani shichru kashasu v'lo naskei, v'haka chaze, so the Gemara says, now that's really hard to imagine that he thought it wasn't wine. When he looked in the barrel, what did he see? So the Gemara says, Belayla. The Gemara says, okay, it was nighttime. He didn't see it. There wasn't light. V'haka marachle. But you don't think he smelled the wine? So becharata. The Gemara says, it's brand new wine. Brand new wine doesn't have that aroma, that vintage that an old wine has. V'haka naga bebanatla. The Gemara says, okay. But in other words, how can we even entertain the idea that the wine should be mutter b'shtiyah? He touched it. Meaning, let's even argue it's maga shelo b'kavana. Magash lo b'kavana. Again, there is an opinion that says it's mutter b'shtiyah, but that's Rabbi Shimon, and it seems to be not an accepted opinion. Meaning the accepted opinion that we've been working with through yesterday's daf and today's daf, that magash lo b'kavana still is going to create an iser shtiyah. He touched the wine. And the Gemara says, ganaga bebanatla, and he touched the wine with literally the cup. Well, let's call it a ladle. Meaning, he took the ladle in his hand, and he put his hand in his hand may not have touched the wine, but the ladle in his hand touched the wine. Now, by the way, for Rashi, this Gemara is great. Why? Because you remember yesterday's daf? Yesterday's daf, he was coming down from the tree, and he was holding the lulav in his hand, and he touched the wine with the lulav that he was holding in his hand. So this is maga ayide davar acher, meaning you didn't touch it with your actual fingers, but you touched it with something that you held in your hand, And Rashi says, that's maga, that's also considered contact. Okay, Tosfos took issue with that, but okay, that was Rashi. So over here, he touched it with the ladle. And so that's good. So the Gemara says, so I don't understand you. Meaning, even if you're right, the guy didn't know it was wine. He thought it was beer. But he touched it. So it's magish lo bekavana, and so it should be asr b'shtia. So lo tzricha dekamarik oruke. Excuse me. So the Gemara says, well, no. He didn't get the wine out through a ladle. He poured the wine out. Pouring the wine out in halacha is referred to as not maga, but rather kocha. Meaning he generated a force in order to get the wine out of the barrel, but it was not direct contact. Okay, and v'havle kocha shlo bekavana. V'kocha shlo bekavana lo gazer be rabbanan. And the Gemara now says that when he pours the wine out, not knowing it's wine, so this in halacha is koach shelo bekavana, and over here, mutter legamre. Perfectly acceptable.
By meaning the rabbi said, the cup and the wine glass, then you knew it was wine.
Right, but what we're, we're trying to ascertain, what the guy thought as he was going through it. Okay, and finally we get to wrap up today's daf. By meaning, Rav Asi Rav Yochanan. The following question was posed from Rav Asi to Rav Yochanan. Let's say the guy dilute the wine. Back in the day, as we've seen throughout Shas, and obviously here in the end of Avodah Zarah, we get to hear a lot of this. So back in the day, so their wines were very strong, and it was almost like a syrup. And in order to drink it, so it required a dilution. Right? Most of the time, I should say, a ratio of 3 to 1. 3 parts water, 1 part wine. So, and generally speaking, we call this meziga. In fact, the language that Rav Asi uses is a strange language. Yaisha maschu ove kochav emahu. So Amrlay, so before Rav Yochanan even answers the question, it bothered him. Like, what language are you talking right now? So the ema mazgu, so why don't you ask the question the way we communicate? Meaning when we talk about dilution, we talk about meziga. So Amrlay ana kedichsiv kamina. So Rav Asi says back to Rav Yochanan, I'm speaking Hebrew, and it's the pasuk in Mishle, tavcha tavcha, mascha yena. The pasuk in Mishle describing how she shechts, she prepares the wine. Okay. So anyway, so the pasuk in Mishle, when talking about a dilution, uses the words mascha. So amalei lashon tar latzma lashon chacham em latzma, and we hear this a number of times throughout Shas. And that is, look, the Torah has one way in speaking, and us chachamim, we have a different way we speak. And because we have our way of dibur, our way of speech, speak like a talmid chacham. In other words, and also as a simple explanation of the Gemara, in other words, it creates a clear communication between people. Meaning if you talk the way chachamim talk, so that way there'll be a clear communication. Meziga is how chachamim speak. So my, but anyway, okay, good. So now we got through the language barrier. So now, but the question is as follows. And you hear the question? Meaning, so the guy didn't touch the wine, but he poured water into the wine and he rendered it drinkable. So Amrlay Aser, now he says that's Aser, but not according to the strict letter of the law. But you know what? We should be machmir in such a situation. Mishum lech lech, amin nazir, schor schor lakamalo sikrav. An expression that you hear throughout Shas, and that's the following. You have a nazir. Can he walk through a vineyard? Sure. Because his prohibition is he's not allowed to eat grape and he's not allowed to drink wine. But he's allowed to walk through a vineyard. Is it prudent for him to walk through a vineyard? No, it's not. In other words, put yourself in a situation where you're going to be walking through a vineyard, you're going to be tempted, all these grapes surrounding you. It's simply not prudent. So can I give you some good sound advice? And let's call it more than just sound advice. Meaning, you should accept this kind of practice where don't walk through the vine. If you're a nazir, so over here, I'd say the same thing. Meaning, according to the strict letter of the law, did he touch the wine? No. Did he pour the wine? Also no. In other words, he just simply poured water into the wine. He diluted it. But in other words, I would say, as a good practice, don't drink the wine. It creates a nitzuk, right?
Right.
Interesting. The Gemara doesn't raise that as an issue. Okay. So, Rabbi Yirmiyah Iklal Asafta Chazachamer Demazgel VeKochavim.
Without nitzuk,
Why should it be aser?
That's
the Gemara's point. The Gemara's point is that Aliba de Hilchasa, according to Midas Adin, it's fine.
Oh, it's just as
a chumra lech. When the Gemara uses the expression lech lech amrin nazira, meaning it's a prudent practice not to drink that wine, not because it's a chumra. The Gemara is acknowledging it's a chumra.
Is the Gemara
saying anything? No, I don't think so. In other words, the simplest way to say the Gemara is that once we're here, meaning the next step is easy to envision. You're going to be drinking together with him, and look at the whole gzera is to create separation. Okay. Rabbi Yirmiyah l'safta chazachamer demazgel v'kochav and v'ishta Yisrael minei. Rabbi Yirmiyah went to the town of Safta, and he saw wine that was diluted by the non-Jew, and the Jew is drinking it. And again, he basically advises, don't do that. In other words, strict letter of the law, it's fine. But in other words, but you should be machmir. You shouldn't allow that. And again, his position was, you should be machmir, and you shouldn't drink it. Okay. The
Touching the water before
it
goes in is not a concern.
No, it's right. Correct. It's not a concern. It's not a concern. Meaning, it's just water. It's not wine. Okay. And here we conclude. Okay. So let's quickly wrap up. Okay. Today we began with the story of Rav and Mechuza. You had a dispute between store owner and the guy that comes in. Guy asks for wine. Store owner says no. Guy takes his hand, puts it into the jug, agitates the wine that's in the jug. Jewish store owner takes that jug, throws it back into the takes all that wine, throws it back into the barrel. And now the question, really two questions. One, the wine in the jug, is it asr mutter? And again, asr over here, asr b'shtia, asr b'hana, mutter b'shtia, mutter b'hana, or maybe that split decision. Rava takes the position of it's mutter b'hana, you're allowed to get benefit from that wine that's in the jug. He feels that this is magash lo b'kavana. And then the debates ensue. The two Rav Hunas argue with the position of Rava. Abaye argues with the position of Rava. Rashi does a little bit of chronology work in the Gemara. The episode of Abaye occurs before the episode of Rav Huna. There were two confrontations that took place. Anyway, Rava ends up reversing his position. And again, as a simple svar for Rava, we pointed out that this could be, in other words, maybe the Nekuda Machlokas over here could be, is this considered Magash Lo B'Kavana? The guy, you're washing the guy. The guy knows it's wine. He puts his hand into the wine. And he's agitating. So maybe this is not Maga Shlo B'Kavana, but rather this is Maga B'Kavana. That could be the Nekuda Machlokis. Anyway, that really covered the first half of today's daf. Second half of today's daf is you had another episode where two rabbis are inviting a guy to drink with them. They didn't know he was a guy. They thought he was a Jew. Turns out that he was a guy. And now the question was, he seemingly came into contact with the wine, so is this considered Magash Lo B'Kavana? And so over here you had two psakim. One was that it's us across the board. One is that it's mutter across the board. And Rav Yeshua ben Levi said, you know, I can validate both positions. If you want to say it's us across the board, it's because he knew it was wine and he came into contact with the wine knowing that it was wine. The one that says that's mutter across the board is because he didn't think it was wine. He thought it was beer. And he touched it. It's maga. So the Gemara says, no, he didn't touch it. He poured the wine out. And this is what's called kocha. And one of the principles the Gemara teaches us is that if it's kocha, shalav kavan, if he poured wine out and without the intent, without knowing that it was wine, so then not only is it mutter be hana, it's also mutter b'shtia as well. And then finally, the last question we dealt with is a non-Jew diluting the wine. So he's not touching the wine, he's just simply pouring water into the wine. What do we say about that? The Gemara says what we say about that is that according to the strict letter of the law, it's really mutter, but lech lech. In other words, we tell the Nazir, don't walk through the vineyard, and we tell the Jewish people, don't drink wine that they diluted. It's as a very safe, precautionary way to behave. You should stay away from such wine. You shouldn't drink such wine.
Why don't we do the same thing with Kutz?